Welcome to another Vox Talk recorded at the CEPR Annual Symposium in Paris. My name is Tim Phillips. Can cryptocurrencies be useful? Not just for speculators, but as a shield against hyperinflation or the depreciation of the official currency if a government is determined to pursue inflationary policies. Bruno Bié of HEC Paris is one of the authors of a paper on crypto that makes the argument that it can actually be a shelter against volatility. He's about to go and make that argument to his colleagues, so I'm talking to him first, just in case they don't let him out afterwards. Bruno, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Bruno, I don't think we've said many good things about crypto in the past on Vox Talks, because we have discussed cryptocurrencies as a way for speculators, the crypto bros, to get rich. Now, your work is thinking about them in a very different way. What is that?
Yeah, you're right. Many people think about cryptos in terms of speculation, in particular the people who buy crypto. But I think if it's only about speculation and there's no social value to it, it's going to disappear. However, I do think there is potential for social value, for adding value for society. I think cryptocurrencies can be useful as currencies. And what's a currency? A currency is something you can use to make payments, to buy things. And people will accept your currency because they anticipate that in the future, other people are going to accept the currency from them. So that's really what's making the euro or the dollar or the pound useful. And there is nothing really fundamental that differentiates pounds and euros from Bitcoin or Ether in that respect. Both of them are based on thin air. There is no collateral. There's no real asset backing them. And in all these cases, people accept it just because they believe it's going to be accepted in the future.
Now, that's, of course, when the financial system's working well and we have currencies and they seem to suit us pretty well most of the time. When I'm saying a financial system working well, what do I mean?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not a coincidence that Bitcoin was created in 2008, just after the great financial crisis, and it was motivated by a certain degree of reluctance towards the financial system. Yes, the euro or the dollar or the pound can be quite useful to make payments, but only if the monetary policy is steady, reliable, will not generate a lot of inflation, and the banking system is steady, reliable, is not going to collapse. To me, that's really the criterion. You know, if you have a system like that, quite possibly the need for crypto is not very high.
Because I suppose day to day, if you have a system working like that, then money's better than crypto at these means of exchange, store of value type jobs.
You're absolutely right. Bitcoin, its price is quite high, but it's also quite volatile. And it's not very convenient to have a very high, highly volatile store of value or means of payment. They tried to use that in San Salvador, and it didn't work very well because of the volatility. So if you live in a system that is okay, in which the central bank is respectable and the banks are not too crazy, it's quite possible that using the official currencies is fine and actually more convenient than using a volatile cryptocurrency.
But if some government doesn't behave in the way that you're describing, what are they going to be doing instead? And what happens to citizens when they don't behave well?
This may not be the only reason why cryptos can be useful or blockchain can be useful, but I believe it's maybe one of the most important reasons is when the financial system and the monetary system is not functional, when the institutions don't work well. And that was really what motivated the white paper by Nakamoto, whoever that was. It starts like that. We want to be able to make payments without institutions. And why do we want to avoid institutions? Because maybe institutions are not doing their job properly. So if you live in Lebanon or in Zimbabwe or in Venezuela, maybe in Turkey or in Nigeria, the official currency is not a great store of value. So if you want to hold some currency to be able to make payments, maybe you don't want to hold the official currency because you're afraid the value is going to vanish because of very high inflation. And why do we have a very high inflation? Well, because the government is spending too much, because the rate of monetary creation is too high. And if you live in a country like that, then maybe holding bitcoins is less dangerous than holding naira. It can be more useful as a store of value and means of payment.
At economics conferences like this, we spend a lot of time thinking about quarter point changes in the bank rate or whether inflation should be 2.5 or 3%. But of course, it's not like that in a lot of places. Hyperinflation wasn't something that just happened 100 years ago in Germany, was it?
Turkey, Argentina, Nigeria, many, many other countries, unfortunately. The rate of inflation is maybe 10%, maybe 20% per month or more. And so currencies are something very useful in an economic system. We need currencies to make payments. But when the official currency does not work because the government is being very bad, then cryptocurrencies are a spare tire.
Of course, whenever we have conversations like this about dysfunctional governments, we think of Hayek, who was the original thinker about this problem 50 years ago. And he wrote about this in the Denationalization of Money in 1976, and this is what he argued for.
The replacement of the government monopoly of money by competition in currency supplied by private issuers who, to preserve public confidence, will limit the quantity of their paper issue and thus maintain its value.
So would Hayek have recognized cryptocurrencies as what he called denationalized private money?
Well, I don't really know what Hayek would say, but I think there is something that is quite in line with what he wrote. Cryptocurrencies are not created by states. They are private things. And there's clearly is competition between cryptocurrencies. And also, I think an important aspect of all this is the cryptocurrencies are competing with the official currencies. I think that's something which may be a bit Hayekian, you know, this notion that competition is a good force to discipline behavior.
Now, you've created a model in your paper that investigates whether crypto might successfully prevent us from irresponsible government actions. Tell us about the model that you created. What assumptions are you making about what crypto is and the attributes it has?
So this is as simple as possible, dynamic general equilibrium model in which there is a production technology that people can run, but that technology is risky. And so when I run my production technology, I'm exposed to the risk of that technology. What I want to do is I want to also hold a store of value that is a bit safer. And so that's one of the roles played by money or currency in the model. Now, when the government in the model is benevolent and tries to do things which are good for citizens, then the rate of monetary creation will be limited so that the value of the official currency will remain stable, and then it can be used as a store of value. And it's very helpful for the agents that this way they can hedge the risk from their production technology. But when the government is non-benevolent, then he will not really put a lot of weight on the welfare of the agents and will want to raise funds in order to engage in spendings that are not beneficial for the agents. Maybe, you know, the government wants to buy apartments in Switzerland for the family. How does the government fund this kind of thing? Well, taxes and seigniorage. Seigniorage is basically the revenue from printing money. So the government is printing too much money in order to raise revenues, but that drives the price of money down. That is, there is a lot of inflation.
So in that world that Hayek knew, which had no cryptocurrencies in it, when you have a responsible government, then money does a pretty good job for the things it's meant to do. When you have the irresponsible government, suddenly the ordinary person has a problem because the value of money just collapses for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that's where we introduce the crypto in the model. And we say the major defining characteristic of the crypto is it's not issued by the government. Its issuance is managed by a protocol which has a quite large degree of commitment power. You know, so you can say, this is going to be my money issuance policy for the next 100 years and stick to it. So that's very good for stability.
And that's what the blockchain structure of crypto does.
Exactly. The blockchain does that for us. And it does other things which are quite useful. For example, it enables people to transfer money from one another without using the banks. And so if the banks are themselves corrupt or not doing their job well because maybe they're colluding with the government, then you also want to go away from them.
So who's going to be buying crypto in that situation?
So our model, you know, it's a model, you know, it has simplification. So in our model, if the government is perfectly benevolent, nobody uses crypto. So when we see that in the US, people are really crazy about crypto.
Leaving that aside, if the government is not benevolent, if it's irresponsible, who's investing and how much in crypto? Why are they doing that?
The less benevolent the government is, the more people will switch away from the official currency towards the cryptocurrency. And this is going to have two effects. One effect is for a given monetary policy of the government, it makes agents better off because they can hold the crypto. But then it has a second effect. Because of the competition from the crypto, the presence of the crypto will prevent the government from inflating too much. Because the government will realize that if I inflate too much, people will stop holding my currency and they will buy the crypto. So this is really this Hayekian notion of competition that disciplines behavior.
It is interesting to think about a government having competition in that way. That's not normally how we think about money at all. Are you arguing that cryptocurrency potentially has a useful systemic function in that it disciplines governments?
Yes, I think so. And if you look at a country like Nigeria, for example, it's true that crypto is competing with the official currency. And actually, the Nigerian government is very upset about that, and they're trying to ban crypto just for that reason.
Do we have empirical evidence that in these places you mentioned, people are actually holding crypto for this reason?
We have some evidence, not a lot of evidence. There is a very interesting paper in the Journal of Monetary Economics last year that studied international transfers and documents that really people are using in countries with very bad governments and very bad financial systems. People are actually using cryptos to transfer money abroad or back home.
Bruno, we're talking about crypto as if nothing has ever been able to do what crypto can do in this situation. But isn't this why people have held gold in the past? Isn't this the reason why, for example, people in Argentina have been holding dollars?
Absolutely. You're perfectly right. I agree 100%. There is something very similar between, let's say, gold or banknotes, dollar banknotes, and crypto. But it's not the same thing because the technology of blockchain is a much more sophisticated and efficient technology than the technology of hiding dollars under your bed or your mattress or gold under your mattress. If you live in a country in which institutions are dysfunctional, it's quite likely this country is going to be a dangerous country too. And so traveling around with dollars on banknotes on you or hiding gold bars in your home is not very safe. In contrast, money on the blockchain, you know, as long as only the person with the private key can unlock that money, so the risk of being stolen is much lower.
Literally 15 minutes before I sat down with you today, I got an email and it announced to me that the war on crypto is over and that cryptocurrencies are going to the moon. Now, Bruno, this does not suggest to me that people are thinking about cryptocurrencies as security. They are thinking about them as a way to get rich. You're seeing these weird cryptocurrencies launched every week. You're seeing meme coins. Does this mean that cryptocurrency might always just be too volatile for the uses that you're describing?
That's a very good point. I agree with you. And yes, I will answer yes. It's quite possible. I cannot rule out the hypothesis that cryptos will remain extremely volatile and therefore will not be helpful to be used as currencies. So I want to say two things about that. First thing is, if you look at the past, maybe the last 2 or 3 years, yes, cryptos have been very volatile. But if you live in Turkey or if you live in Nigeria, the amount of volatility or actually the amount of depreciation in the official currency is way beyond the risk to which you're exposed with cryptos. So I am not saying I predict cryptos will go up. I'm not saying I predict cryptos will go down. Frankly, I can't predict anything. But I'm saying if you compare the level of volatility that they have and the level of volatility of official currencies in those countries, it's not that bad.
So should the economists who study this topic, many of whom are outside here, they're at this conference, should they maybe start to update their beliefs about the usefulness of crypto?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound arrogant. Let me tell you what I did. Initially, I thought, oh, blockchain is great, but cryptos are really horrible. They're just bubbles. It was maybe 10 years ago. I wanted to think about that, so I had to learn about money, what money was. And this made me realize that, oh, well, you know, the difference between official money and cryptocurrencies is not as high as we might think. So maybe that's the sense in which we all might change a little bit our negative views on cryptos.
You'll find out in a couple of hours from now. Bruno, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
If you are thinking about updating your views on crypto, or if you're not, but just want to read what Bruno has to say anyway, the paper is called Do Cryptocurrencies Matter? And the authors, Bruno Billet, Jean-Charles Rocher, and Stéphane Villeneuve.
This has been a Vox Talk from the CEPR Paris Symposium 2024. We were going to bring you our episode on financial deglobalization this week, but we had to delay it for central bank-related reasons. Don't worry, we will have it for you next week.